call the Sussex County Council meeting of August 14th, 2012 to order. Approval of the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Yes, good morning, Mr. President. Thank you. Today, we can amend the agenda to strike all the executive session and possible action on executive session items.
Entertain a motion to amend the agenda. Motion, Mr. Phillips. Second, Mr. Wilson, to amend the agenda. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Motion carried.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am, Mrs. Deaver.
Are we not supposed to wear campaign buttons in this chambers? I'm not sure. I know the county council's not supposed to.
Can't have anything bigger than like a 2x4 or something.
Yeah, there is a size limitation on any buttons or placards as to zoning hearings and the like.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks.
We had the minutes in our this past week of August 7th. Any questions, concerns, or corrections? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
There is none, Mr. President.
I have something, Mr. President.
Mr. Cole.
The Village Improvement Association would like to thank the council for the contribution. And the, there's another one here. Wait, no, that's it. That's good. That'll work.
Okay. I guess I got one.
Mr. Phillips.
An elderly lady from Dagsboro wrote, Mr. Phillips, I am writing this letter to thank you for your help in my getting some work done to my home. I am very grateful. I also wanted to express myself on the way the employees did their work. They were very courteous and all knew what they had to do, and did it. I'm very pleased with everything that was done. Ethel Tripp from Dagsboro. It's a program, I believe, through our housing department. The money that it took to help her out was placed on a lien on her property and will be recovered upon the sale of her property. So it costs the taxpayers nothing in the end.
That's great.
Council.
I just wonder what the definition of elderly is.
Well, you know, I better retract that.
Thank you.
I think I'm getting old enough that people are going to start calling me elderly.
There you go. Well, any more things from council? Okay. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you. Next item is the First State Community Action Agency presentation. Today, we're pleased to be joined by Ms. Bernice Edwards, Executive Director of the First State Community Action Agency, to announce the county's financial support of First State's continued efforts to work with individuals and communities to improve their lives. Founded in 1966, First State Community Action Agency remains focused on overcoming the challenges of the homeless, substandard living conditions, unemployment, and hunger. Today's funding represents the second of four contributions the county will make to First State for its new building. Bernice, if you'd like to come up, we have a check presentation.
There's Bernice.
Thank you. You can have one more. Council, thank you and your group for all you do for this county. We appreciate it very, very much. We're glad we can help you in any way possible.
Thank you so much.
Come back anytime you want to.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And here is the
yeah, thank you. I just want to say to the council, thank you for so much support that you have given First State Community Action Agency over the years, and
your continued support. And if you haven't visited our renovated building, please come by.
It's all because of your persistence, you know that.
Thank you so much. But the work get done.
Bernice.
Yes.
The money that you're receiving today is going into the renovation of the building?
It's the completed renovation, and the council made the commitment over a period of time.
For the capital project to redo the whole building, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're certainly welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, wonders.
Next item, thank you. Next item is the Delaware Bike Summit. Today we're joined by Mr. Jim Westhoff, Community Relations Officer for the Delaware Department of Transportation, to provide details on this year's Delaware Bicycle Summit.
Good morning. My name is Jim Westhoff. I am a spokesman for DelDOT. I'm also a resident of Greenwood, 104 South First Street, but I'm here today as a representative of the Delaware Bicycle Summit. The Delaware Bicycle Summit will be held this year at September 7th, just a few weeks away, and we are going to city councils and county councils throughout the state to talk to council members and also the public and invite them all to attend the Bike Summit. It's our fourth year doing the Bicycle Summit, and the reason we're doing it is because we want to bring together community leaders, opinion makers like yourselves, along with folks who have made this happen throughout the country, and get together and talk about how we can make Delaware more bicycle friendly. And so far, it has worked. We've had hundreds of people at each one of our bike summits. The Delaware's bicycle ranking has raised from somewhere like 14th to 9th now. We're among the top 10 most bike-friendly states in the country. And please understand that making Delaware more bicycle-friendly is not just an option. We're not talking about some superfluous recreational endeavor. More people are riding bikes now than ever. More Sussex County residents, more Delawareans, and we're seeing accidents. This year alone, we've had 3 fatalities, and one of which was here in the county. And in addition, in many critical injuries, bikes and cars, we're having more people on bikes. So we need to address this issue. And it's only going to increase as more people get on their bikes with gas prices. So the Bike Summit's goal is to make the state more bicycle friendly. Like I said, it's September 7th at Dover Downs in Delaware. It's free to all people who register. The funds for the Bike Summit are completely come from sponsors. No state funds are being spent for the Bike Summit. And we hope that folks from the county can come and join this effort and become partners in making our state more bicycle friendly. Because like I said, it's a critical issue for the health and welfare of our residents. You have any questions?
Beaver Dam Road, there's not even any shoulder to pull off if you're in a car.
Yes.
How are people going to ride their bikes on roads like that?
Well, we are trying to make roads more bike-friendly. We have a rule now. If we make a new road, it's a policy called Complete Streets. Whenever we make additions to a new road or a bridge, we have to provide access for pedestrians or bicycles. Now, if we can't, we have to have a good reason why we can't. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But roads like Beaver Dam Road and many of the roads here in the county, we just simply can't afford to go out and make big new shoulders for all these roads. But we are moving forward with making them as many of them as possible bike friendly. And one thing we can do is to educate the cyclists, like a Beaver Dam Road, for example, to have lights on the back of your bicycle if you're driving at night. I think that would have saved at least one life this year that we've lost. Ride with traffic, things like that will help save a lot of lives. And those are common sense, until we can get those big shoulders on roads like Beaver Dam Road, we'll have to work on the smaller issues.
This might sound like a silly question, but should some roads be designated too dangerous for bike traffic? Mm-hmm. I'd like something similar to that road, because I know around Ocean View there's some roads that are just so heavily traveled, and to be on there with a bike is just idiotic, in my opinion, because you're asking for, like you say, the interaction of a car and a bike, and the bike never wins.
Yes, I think that there's, we'd come up against some federal regulations.
Really?
Okay. I believe so. Like we can say that you can't ride your bike on I-95. Okay, we can all, that's a law. But we don't, we can't outlaw bikes on other roads where it just doesn't make
a lot of sense. Well, how about just maybe a notification just saying that this road, you know, put people on notice that, you know, if they're from out of the area, tourist or something, and they go, oh, let's go ride down this road, you know, at least maybe state that it's this road is dangerous, be, you know, extremely careful, or some kind of notification. That would be helpful because I mean, it doesn't say they can't do it, but it would just put them on notice that they're entering an area that is could it be extremely dangerous? So.
That's a great question, mm-hmm. Councilman Cole. I'll have to get back.
I'd love to see something like that. I mean, just some common, like you said, common sense solutions, and that might save some people's lives some injuries.
Can I get back to you on that one?
Yeah,
Councilman Cole, because I don't have the answer, but no, it sounds like a reasonable.
Yeah, why can't you do? Why can't we do that at least?
Yes, I know that some roads that are dangerous that already have a lot of cyclists on them. We are working hard to get some facilities like Gill's Neck Road out of Lewis. We have a lot of people on the road. And we need to do something fast. So we've been working with folks there to put a trail in to save some lives. But that's a great question. I'll get back with you on that.
Or let Todd know. Just send him a note.
Certainly.
Yes, you know, sir. I have a message, too, for DelDOT.
Okay.
Next time you create something like Route 1, mm-hmm. How about some service roads so people could ride on their bikes and remain alive? Route 1 is very dangerous for bicyclists.
Yes, it is.
Between Lewis and Rehoboth and on down.
Yes, it is.
So service roads would have been very nice.
Thank you.
Well, the county could have been part of that. We argued that years ago.
Well, let's all work together.
Anything else from council? Thank you very much for coming out and briefing us. We appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. Very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. See you.
Thanks a lot. Mr. Lawson.
Okay, thank you. Next item is the Nanticoke Dredge Project update. We wanted to come today to provide council and the public an update on the Nanticoke Dredge Project. As you know, in February, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers announced its approval for $1.8 million in funding for the dredging of the Nanticoke River. The maintenance dredging will be performed on a stretch of the Nanticoke extending from the Maryland-Delaware line up to Seaford and will restore the main channel depth to 12 feet. While this is an Army Corps project, the county was responsible for acquiring a suitable site for the dredge materials. In May of 2010, the county purchased a 41-acre site near Woodland, west of Seaford. As part of this entire project, on July 17th, the Army Corps held a public workshop in Seaford to give the public an opportunity to review the project specifics and ask questions of the Army Corps officials. In an effort to assist the public's understanding of the project and to give citizens a single source of information, the county has created a special website containing all the documentation we have to date involving the dredging project. This site will continue to be updated as the county receives additional information from our stakeholders, including the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Any citizen who wishes to ask a question about this project or join the county's mailing list can do so by accessing this site. You can also access the new site by logging on to the county's website or going to sussexcountyde.gov/projects. Mr. Guy has the website up on the screen. This website will go live immediately right now for the public to access, which this was created by our IT department, and mostly this is a clearinghouse for all the documentation that we've been given, and most of it is coming from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. We had a lot of questions during the public workshop, and we felt as though if we had access to these documents, the public would be better informed. And we felt as though it would help because U.S. Army Corps doesn't normally provide such a site with these documentation. And it should be noted that we're still receiving documents from the Army Corps, and as we receive them, they will be posted onto this website. So real quickly, we'll just run down what the site features. Most importantly, on the bottom of the front page, the public can go on and contact us here at the county by clicking on to the contact information, submitting their name. If they have any questions about the projects or comments about the project, they can go on. We've also created a mass mailing list for anyone that is interested in the project based on the sign-up sheets that were presented at the public workshop in Seaford. Anyone that was not there and still wants to receive information can join the mailing list via the website. And then real quickly, you'll see the menu on the left-hand side of the documentations based on who provided the materials. The U.S. Army Corps has the most reports here because it is their project. And like I said, there's a disclaimer at the bottom stating that as we receive more documents from the Army Corps, including their water sampling, which is supposed to come any day, we will include that on this site. Couple other links, including the county's materials, which shows the maps of the proposed dredging site, as well as the pipes that will run from the river up to the woodland area and back, and other sources, which includes all the data surrounding this site that the county's been provided. And finally, a link to the mailing list. This is duplicative of the link on the front page, just in case someone has an interest, they can log on and add their names and information to the mailing list. With that, any questions from council? Hopefully this will be a valuable tool to the public and folks in and around Seaford that are interested in the Nanticoke project, and hopefully a resource that we can continue to update and provide for the public.
I'd like to thank Todd and the staff for putting this together on the website. I know that night there were a lot of questions from the public, and I think a lot of them were addressed by the Army Corps and by Mr. Izzo from the county. But I think the public wanted information. I think we're providing it this way, which is a good thing, and hopefully something we can do in the future on other projects we have to make the public more aware of it and have more transparency, I guess is the key word. But I think it's a very good project that you put together, and thank you for doing that. Appreciate it.
Good job.
Will you be able to kind of tell us when you think this project will actually start?
Yes. The project itself is currently ongoing right now, and the focus is on the site that the county owns currently. We are working with engineering to make sure that the site is prepared for the dredging materials. We're also making sure that the pipeline that runs from the river up to the project site is complete. In fact, Mr. Izzo is on site right now meeting with a resident because this particular neighbor had questions and he wanted to address them personally. And then once the site is finished and prepared, then the dredging will start. Again, this is an Army Corps project. They're in control, and they're also limited in the time frame for when they can actually dredge. They're not sure if they're going to be able to dredge next year on the river at the beginning of the year due to time frame of when the limitation is they're not allowed to dredge during certain spawning seasons.
Okay.
If it's like the Assiniboine Canal, it could take years.
Anything else from council?
Because of environmental issues.
Okay. Last but not least, Administrator's report, which is brief, one item. Sussex County will host a groundbreaking ceremony for the runway extension project at the Sussex County Airport this week, 10 o'clock a.m. on Friday, August 17th. The groundbreaking marks the beginning of a $4.4 million construction project that will add 500 feet at the airport's main 5,000-foot runway. The event will be held at the end of runway 422 at the airport just east of Georgetown. Several officials from the county, state, and federal levels of government, as well as local business representatives, will be on hand as we break ground on this very important project to improve safety and boost our local economy. Construction is expected to begin later this month and continue throughout 2013. The media are also invited to attend. That is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Thanks. Mrs. Webb.
Thank you. Good news today. We did receive the Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting again this year. I'm pleased to announce that. And this is the 10th consecutive year, a decade now, that we've been receiving this high honor. This award is the highest form of recognition in governmental accounting and financial reporting, and its attainment represents a significant accomplishment by a government and its management. It reflects the culmination of the efforts of many county employees involved in preparing the annual financial report, our auditors, and our staff, who on a day-to-day basis ensure that county finances remain strong. And today I'd like to recognize Gina Jennings, if you could stand, please, because they like to sit in the back row. Accountants are very shy by nature. Gina Jennings, Kathy Roth, Jeff James, up in engineering, Keith Moore, Louise Thompson, and thank them for their special efforts in achieving this award. It is has a deadline that we are always striving to make in December, and they're a very talented group of accountants and county employees, and I'm very proud of them.
Thank you all very much for all you do. You truly do a great job in the county. We all appreciate that very much. Thank you. Brad Whaley.
Good morning, Council. Our office recently is in the process of completing the our fiscal year for 2011, our housing rehabilitation program. And I have Brandy Bennett and Mike Jones have actually helped me prepare kind of some of the highlights that will pinpoint how this money's been used. In 2011, the county received, let me wait for a minute, I'm sorry. Thank you. There you go. In 2011, we received a total of $1,113,000 in funding, and that breaks down. We received $833,000 in community development block grants, $200,000 in home funding, $60,000 in county council grants, and $20,000 in USDA preservation grant. We worked in the towns of Delmar, Seaford, Laurel, Ellendale, and Milford. And we did housing rehabs in the rural communities of rural Dagsboro, Millsboro, rural Ellendale, and the Lincoln Greentop area. With these funds, we were on the next screen. With these funds, we were able to assist 143 households, 270 county residents. Of these 143 homes, 93 were elderly, 71 had disabled residents, and 115 of the homes had incomes below the 50% of the area median income, which is about $24,000. Approximately 50% or 136 of the residents that we assisted were minorities. Also, the county council had given us $60,000 in grant funding to assist residents. With these funds, we were able to help 12 households with rehab projects. Nine of these households had were elderly occupied. Five had disabled residents, and about 40% had minorities. Also, we were able to assist First Aid Community Action with some work on the community center at Coverdale Crossroads. And I'd like Mike to, we've got some pictures of the actual work going on. I'd like Mike to explain a little bit about what you'll see next.
This is a house in Milford that we're working on, and we see this quite often in the county where houses, where people move to, the windows are wore out, the doors, and the air is just leaking in and out just profusely. This is one of our contractors right here replacing the windows, replacing the doors here in this house. This is in the town of Milford. This is an elderly lady in a Greentop area. She was in the hospital, actually, when we were working on this ramp for her. She needed a ramp when she came home. Which happens so many times from people that are in rehab, because a lot of people go to rehab now before they come home, and they're in a wheelchair bound and such, or walker that need a ramp to in and out of the house. We also put, in the bottom left-hand side of this picture, we put a handicapped shower in for her. She could no longer get up and over the tub to get in her shower, to get in her bathroom. So we took the tub out and put a shower in to make it more accessible to her, to be able to help out a little bit better. This is a house here right in Lincoln. It's a young mother of three, trying to get by the best she can. Her heating bill was so expensive, they would just huddle in around a kerosene heater, and in the wintertime it would be so bad. So we're trying to do some insulation work on the outside of the house. We insulated underneath her plywood and tie wrapped it and everything, put new siding on, put a new roof on it for her, gonna put new windows in and doors. It's gonna make a tremendous difference for this family. She's a single mom trying to raise a family, trying to do the best she can. And the heating bills are just so astronomical. We make them show us that kind of stuff, so we actually see the things they have and see what kind of need they have before we actually do the rehab on their house. This house right in town of Delmar, one of our first years we had gotten money in Delmar. This is a single father, has a young son. Like a lot of people in He was scaled down in his job. He had a really good job, got laid off. His job now, he don't make nowhere near what he had made before. And another example, they huddled down two or three rooms in the wintertime because of the heat. The house was so terrible. We had windows and siding insulated outside of this house, and tried to help him out the best we could. This is something we're seeing more all the time the last few years is wells. We put some wells in around the county. This is just south of Georgetown. The wells are, a lot of the old wells that, like a lot of the farmers and stuff knows, they're old driven wells, old pipe wells. We put in a submersible well, submersible pump, and be able to get them some water. This is an elderly gentleman right here. They couldn't afford them. It had no water. It had actually, they were actually borrowing water from the neighbors, five-gallon buckets to be able to get by with. So we were able to put a well in for him to be able to help out.
I think when we started putting this PowerPoint and pictures together, Mike, we were concerned that our contractors wouldn't want their picture taken, but it actually turned out to be just the opposite, that they kind of were begging towards the end to have their pictures taken. Another interesting point, a lot of the workers you see, we have to track what HUD calls Section 3, and that is the income of the actual workers that are doing the work. And probably 70% of our work is done in the field by people who are actually in the moderate income range. For the 2012, the year we're just starting now, we've received $790,000 in CDBG and home funding. The county council has given us $70,000 in grant funding, which is a 16% increase over last year's, and this will allow us to help some more residents with ramps and handicap accessibilities, that sort of thing. We're still waiting to hear from the USDA about our small HPG grant, which is usually $20,000. This year we'll be working in the town of Selbyville, Georgetown, Bridgeville, and Milton, and the rural communities of Cool Springs, Mount Joy, and Coverdales. We'll also do scattered site rehab and hookups for the sewer hookups. we just received this week or last week the CDBG guideline package for next year. So we're actually, gives us an opportunity to see if they want to make any changes or if we have any suggestions. One thing that's particularly troublesome to us is we've just received an increase over the past year and a half in the amount of roofs that are leaking. So that's one of the things we're going to ask, if there's some way possible, maybe we could allot a specific funding just to do roofs, and that keeps the housing stock stable. So, you're kind of looking at 60% of our office. We're all here. I've got Nicole Reddick and Dale McDowell back in the office holding down the fort, but we're pretty much looking at our whole staff. So I'd just like to thank you for allowing us to have this opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Questions from Council? Mr. Phillips?
Excellent.
If you can back up one slide, the $797 comes from the federal government. Does the $200,000 come from the federal government?
It's the federal government, yeah. It's similar to the CDBG, but it has a little bit different guidelines.
And does the county get an administrative?
We do, and I didn't. We actually receive $162,000 in administrative funding on top of that.
So the $70,000 we give back still has left us with ample amount to administer the program.
Yes.
Yep. Anything else from council?
Yes. How many people do you have waiting in line that we can't get to
who need
housing rehab and are in dire straits?
Our countywide list has about 700 and what? Over 800, well, Brandy maintains that. It's probably 820 on the countywide. And then each community's different. Lowell probably has 28 people. Georgetown may have 17. Seaford has quite a few. It's a large community. So total, it's over 1,000, maybe getting close to 1,100 people that are waiting. And we do actually administer, Brandy helps and Dale with there's a 3% loan program, and we actually try to get people through that too, just to save the waiting period. If they're in a position where they can afford it, we find a lot of times that, you know, a senior citizen living on a fixed income actually can't afford even a minimal $30, $40 a month loan payment. So,
so we're not keeping, in other words, the numbers keep every year have been
every year
we're
dropping. I think me and Mike were
waiting.
Talking yesterday, we think we're dropping maybe, we're losing about 3 to 5%. We're actually, there's that many more people than we're able to help every year. So, and like I said, roofs have been an issue. We think the bad snows that we had back in 2010 damaged a lot of roofs, prematurely with the weights. And so we're getting a lot of calls. And the roof, and they'll say, well, my roof's only 5 or 6 years old, but the storms, I think that did damage quite a few. So we're working, helping where we can.
Anything else from council?
Thank you.
How are they selected? First come, first serve?
First come, first serve, yeah. Yes. And some of them, like the HPG, actually we advertise in the paper, and then we have a sign-up day, and they sign up. The larger targeted funds, the ones that are 1,000 people, that list has been ongoing for 20 years. People are going on and coming off. So that's first come, first serve.
How many projects would you project this million plus be able to help?
I'm thinking it'll be very similar to last year, probably up in 120 to 140 households.
Okay.
We never know for sure. You just never know what you're going to see, if it's going to be a small project or large when you get there. So we're anticipating 120 to 140.
Hey, what's
called? Yeah, I just something popped in my mind. Do you ever reject any projects? I mean, if you're going down this first come, first serve, if that's the way we're doing it, and I don't know, maybe that's not the best way to maybe approach this big issue. Because
right.
Anyway, do you ever come across the guy on the list and you look at the house and say, it's too far gone?
If it's too far gone and we can't rehab it for under $25,000, then we just tell them we can't help it. Yeah, we try.
So that does.
It does happen.
We do reject them and move on to the next one.
Yes, and then there's the issue with back taxes, the the fair housing or the fair clean hands policy, and then we just keep them on the list until they either work with Katrina getting on the payment plan, and at some point we can pull a building permit, but we don't take them off, but we don't assist them till they've paid down their taxes. Also, sometimes there's ownership issues in some communities. Maybe the grandfather owned the property and it's not been prorated through, so we can't get a clear ownership. That causes problem for us too.
And with manufactured homes, I know we do them.
We do
right?
them.
But you take a manufactured home of a certain age, there's really no value sometimes because they depreciate and stuff.
Exactly. Yes.
Because you wonder whether you should throw some money towards that or a stick-built home that's going to. Obviously, we have homes around here that are lasting, 100 years or more.
Yeah, yes.
So, I mean, how do you determine if a 30-year-old manufactured home is worth rehabbing?
Well, we try to usually our liens are 5-year or 10-year liens, and we just try to determine if the home is going to last that period of time. Occasionally, and that's one thing about the home funding, we can do mobile home replacements with that. So as long as we can get like a 20-year-old or newer mobile home, we can replace
okay.
a dilapidated mobile home with that. That's a very complicated process because mm-hmm. you have someone who doesn't have a house to live in for a period of time. It's very involved. Another thing is if they own the land, it's a little easier because we can just put we're required to secure this funding with liens. Well, if they're in a rental mobile home park, we have to use the title to the trailer, and that's an issue. Some people don't have their titles, and that can be an issue. We may not be able to help them if they don't have their titles. There's a lot. There are a lot of people that need help, and especially elderly, single female households where the husband's passed away, their income has just reached a point where they can't afford the normal repairs that people can do. So,
and this has got an income criteria, I'm sure.
Exactly. Everything is 80% or below area medium income. And then the HPG is actually 50% or below. It's what they call very low.
And are we allowed to set the parameters for this program of who gets it and who doesn't get it, or does it come directed, mandated to us?
It's directed from the housing authority with the CDBG money.
We're kind of tied in, so we don't have that much flexibility, because I'm just wondering, is there a better way to look at this whole program? And I would also mention to Todd that here's an area I think, and I've always thought that as we see surplus funds and things in this county, and this is a project that really helps Sussex County, and we're so far behind. As long as I've been here, we've had almost the same number, 1,000 homes needing help. And we throw a token amount to it, but I'm sure if the county was able to fund more, it would go to good use. So that's an area I think that you should get support on.
Yep, we have more and more retirees than ever before.
Anything else from council?
No.
Brad, thank you and your staff. You do a great job. I mean, that's sincerely.
Thank you.
A lot of people out there need help, and I think you do. You do a good job, you and Brandon and all your staff.
We have. I do have a great staff. And thank you very much. Thank you for the support you give us.
Thank you for what you do.
Now, I know I expect Mr. Wilson was holding his tongue, but we've got to be careful about how magnanimous we are. If we start channeling more and more taxpayers' dollars into this program, there could be a backlash because personal responsibility is a big part of this county's success. Where do we draw the line?
Nobody's throwing any money towards it. I just said...
I just suggested
I think it's a worthy program that this county has that was such a need, and we see the amount of money coming back, tax dollars coming back into the state from federal sources. And then what we put up, you just wonder if we're doing enough, Vance. Yeah. And I said for 20-some years, we've not really made a bite, any progress in this.
Somebody said one time, there will be poor always.
But I do recall, Vance, we gave back a refund, tax refund, and everybody got about $3 to $4 or $5.
I got
$8. Which did really very little to help people in this county.
And that was their own money.
Had zero impact on helping the quality of life in this county. This program, I think, could help. So you take your position, I'll take mine.
Okay.
Good. Sergeant Bernice has come up forward.
Are you trying to say you're going to be Robin Hood today, George?
I haven't said a word. I just bringing light
let
to
Ms.
it.
Let Ms. Edwards have a little.
Can I just on behalf of Brad and the partnership that we work with the county and First State, right now we do have the weatherization program. So what we try and do is work with the county in the houses that is going to be rehabbed. If we can do, there are certain things that, so where I have with weatherization that I can't do, but we are trying to do as much as we can on a house that we can work together, where it would give the county a chance to put that a little bit more money in a house. If we can come up and do like $6,500, that's like the weatherization piece, the insulation, the caulking, and things like that. Brad would come in because there are things like the roof I can't do, and that's why our partnership has been with the county in Sussex County trying to help the houses, because if you got 800 houses and the number keep growing, we'll never reach the mass of people that we need to meet, but we can work together as we have done before.
Sure.
And this department does an excellent job because in the communities that we see. So I just want to...
Yeah, I get complaints from new folks who have just moved in nice new houses. And I get complaints about the houses that need repair. They want us to do something, and so I just, it's there. It exists, and, I think we're doing the right thing.
And we have a large mobile home manufactured housing in Sussex, so that's what it is. But that's what we are looking at, those seniors in those homes.
And Bernice serves on our board, too, so she's one of our advisors, so she's been a big help.
Houses. And thank you for that cooperation, Bernice.
George thought I was talking about the new houses. I'm talking about the houses that need help, that roofs are leaking, and, some places they don't have floors. And I'm just talking about complaints from new people about the houses
appearance.
That need repair. And,
they don't think
we should have those old dilapidated houses.
I thought you meant the retirees in these new houses.
No,
you
George.
You fix them. And I said, wait a minute.
Grant request.
Thank you. Old-timer Softball League.
That must be countywide.
Yes, that's an old timers are all over this county, right? Mm-hmm. Right, Little. Tell you that.
Elderly,
55 years and older.
I move we give $100 from each council member.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Phillips. Second, Mr. Cole to grant $500 in total, $100 each council grant. That county grant for the Old Timers Softball League operating expense. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Sussex Tri-Community Coalition.
And
this is for?
This is for a program for at-risk youth, ages 13 to 19, and it will be in Bridgeville.
Okay.
I make a motion. How much you want to give?
You got it. I'll give what you do.
All right, that's dangerous, Mike.
Okay.
Second.
A motion to grant 250.
Please.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Phillips, to grant $500, 250 of his account, 250 of my account, to the Sussex Tri-Community Coalition for Youth. Any question on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Town of Ellendale.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That is for...
This is the back-to-school...
Back-to-school program, $500 out of my account. I make that motion.
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Phillips, to grant $500, Mrs. Deaver's account, to Town of Ellendale for the back-to-school bash event. Any question on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Lady Blue Hens softball team.
And that was a countywide thing, too, I think, wasn't it?
That is a countywide.
For
ladies
who?
From throughout Sussex County.
Move $100 from each account.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second. Mr. Wilson, to grant $100 from each account, total of $500 to the Delaware Lady Blue Hens softball team for tournament expenses. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
And the Ellendale Volunteer Fire Company.
$1,000 from my account, please.
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Phillips, to grant $1,000 from Mrs. Deaver's account, the Ellendale Volunteer Fire Company.
And they're building
for their construction of a new substation expenses.
Is that towards, a new substation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'll give $1,000.
Okay, if you'll accept that as a...
So a total of two.
Total of $2,000.
I'll second
that. Mr. Phillips seconds that. That'd be $1,000, Mrs. Deaver, $1,000, Mr. Wilson, Ellendale Volunteer Fire Company, to help with their expense of the new substation they're building in the Lincoln area.
And I want to say something. I don't want any plaque on any walls because we gave this money. This is public money. I don't want them doing that, please.
Okay.
Did you get them that message?
I could.
I don't want that.
If they want to do it, though, they can put my name on it.
Oh, George. Yeah.
I was just saying.
If they'd like to.
But we'll have more questions on a motion. We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Sam, you don't mind if my
carried.
Name goes up here, does it? No, I mean just mine.
Opposed any ordinances, Mr. Moore?
There are none, Mr. President.
We have no additional business brought before council. We'll entertain a motion.
I have something.
Mrs. Deaver.
I got a report that a candidate was out in the vestibule campaigning for a seat on county council. Now, some people who are running for office would like to know, is that a place where they can bring their candidates and run and conduct their campaigns out there in the vestibule?
Mr. Lawson or Mr. Moore.
I know that it has been... tradition that candidates have come in before on both parties, have gone through, meet people in the different offices, go through, meet staff, and it would be difficult to stop someone and monitor what are they doing there. Obviously, if someone set up a booth passing out pamphlets, would be one thing that would be easy to monitor, but if someone was simply coming in a public building, that's more difficult to monitor.
So a candidate could be stationed out there in the vestibule to come to shake hands with the employees and everybody who enters the door. Is that right? I think it puts the employees in a bad situation.
That would, again, it becomes to a monitoring issue and, secondly, a free speech issue. Mm-hmm. If this is something that you would want to discuss further, we could do that and have it actually placed on for an agenda item. When we come with the additional business before council, I've always perceived this to be a time when the public has an opportunity to come to us and ask questions because they don't otherwise have an opportunity to raise issues, but any council person could simply have it placed on the agenda. But I do know in the past it has been a tradition where people of either party can come through, walk through the courthouse and meet people, and that's been done often.
That wasn't a walk-through, and it came from an employee who doesn't want to have the name disclosed, so I'm carrying the information or the question to you from that person.
Well, we can make it an agenda item.
Yeah, we can do that, yeah. That's fine. If you want to look into it, see what the policy is or not, whatever.
I just come up with a policy.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I think average one thing is a public building, certainly. Well, it's a public access, so.
They might need some little on-job training. You never know. Come here and see how we operate so they can step right in.
There you go.
Okay.
Well, then, that's good. I'll go back and tell them that bring the candidates in here.
Yeah, don't matter to me.
Be a policy for candidates.
Anything else from council?
Turkeys, too.
Entertain a motion to adjourn. Motion, Mr. Phillips, second. Mr. Wilson, to adjourn. Any question on the motion?
No, sir.
Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We are adjourned until.